Now, it's 13 minutes to 11 here in Ireland. It's 13 minutes to 3 o'clock in the morning in Vegas, where we find our technology correspondent, Jess Kelly. Jess, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
You're very good to stay up late for us.
Oh, sure, look, I'm doing nothing else anyway.
Now, tell me about the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas. It truly is the biggest in the world.
Yeah, look, there's nowhere else I would be in the world right now other than Las Vegas. This is where everybody from the world of tech gathers every January and shows off the next big thing in the world of tech. It's everyone from startups to the big players like Google, Amazon, all the car manufacturers. Everybody is literally here. There's 170,000 people coming, more than 4,000 exhibitors. And it's an incredible thing to see.
Now, what have you seen so far? I mean, new tellies, is that big news?
It is, but, you know, it's increasingly difficult. I've been sort of reporting on tech for 6 or 7 years now, and I find it so difficult to find anything new to say about TVs other than they look class. You know, every year we know that the picture's going to get better. Sony had their press conference last night and they unveiled a new TV, which is an OLED A87 X1 Extreme TV. What does that mean? It means it looks beautiful. And Sony sort of emphasized that what makes a TV look beautiful, first and foremost, is, you know, the panels that are used, the lighting panels that are used inside the TV. So in this one, it's OLED. And then the technology internally. So this new one that they've unveiled has an X1 Extreme processor. And what that means is that it can automatically adjust itself to ensure that you're getting the best contrast possible. There's no longer messing around with the remote control or whatever it may be. The TV is smart enough to adjust so that if you're watching a football match, there's no blur on the screen, there's no lag. It's all happening as though you were in the stadium yourself.
Moving on to a voice control, it seems that's all the rage now.
It really is. And, you know, part of that TV that I just mentioned there, it's going to support if it's an Android voice activation. So if you have, say, a Google Home device in your home, you can say, hey, Google, turn on my TV and turn on channel 152. It's also going to support Alexa as well. But what's really interesting is that Sony have unveiled Xperia Hello, which is their voice controlled assistant. And they've been selling it in Japan for the last 2 months. And it costs €1,000, which is a mind boggling amount of money for a voice assistant. But it goes a little bit further than the Alexa or the Google Home in that it has facial recognition as well as voice recognition. And then you can have video calls on it too. So it's just moving on a bit further. But I still think £1,000 is a lot of money to pay for something like that.
What's the Xperia Ear?
The ear is something that I am very interested by. It's still in the concept stage. So this is not going to be in stores, you know, anytime soon. It's in-ear headphones by Sony. And the idea is that you can still, say, for example, if you're a cyclist, but you want to listen to music as you cycle, you put the Xperia ear in and you can listen to your music, but you can still hear the traffic around you or someone beeping at you or whatever it may be. And the big point of difference is that the in-ear headphone has a big hole in the middle of it. So the sound still gets pumped into your head, but you can still then, you know, have a conversation or whatever it may be. Now, there's pros and cons to this. Firstly, you know, as I said, if you're a cyclist or if you're like me and you wear your headphones when you're in the supermarket, you can still hear somebody talking to you or calling at you. The con is that you're not going to be fully immersed in the sound as you would be if you were wearing, you know, big on-ear headphones or big in-ear headphones.
I would love those straight away because when I go walking my dogs or whatever, I wear just one ear in and the other ear off. And if there's a bit of a wind blowing, it can be hard to kind of hear the sound of the radio or whatever. But if you had that in both ears, you'd still be able to hear stereophonic sound in your ears, but also ambient noise around you. That'd be great.
Yeah, it seems like a really good idea. I think Sony know they're onto something and they know this isn't the finished article as of yet, but we're moving into that space. I also saw there's a guy I know who has a helmet now, a cycling helmet, and the sound from the helmet comes from the front, so almost on the visor of the helmet. So again, you're not wearing headphones when you're cycling. So we're going to see more innovation in this space, but I just thought it was an interesting one for Sony to show a concept rather than the finished product.
Now, tell me about the robot dog. Were you convinced?
Yes, 100%. I'm not really a dog person. I can barely deal with humans. So having a robot dog just sounds ideal. It's called Ivo, and it's a little tiny puppy-sized dog. It has big OLED eyes and a camera in its nose, so it means it can act as a guard dog if you're on holidays. And it has sensors all over its body, so on its back and on its tummy and on its head, so you can pet it and interact with it. And it has such smart technology inside that it learns to react to you. So, for example, if you give it plenty of cuddles and whatever it may be, it'll react more affectionately towards you. It'll learn to love you over time, which I just think is a little bit scary, but very interesting.
Furby has come a long way. There's no doubt about it.
Exactly.
Now,
But it's going to cost you €1,500, though, is the only thing.
€1,500.
Uh-huh.
Well, you can get a pedigree dog from a kennel, would cost you maybe $1,000, and then you got to feed it and go to the vet.
Well, this is true. So you have to do the equation in your head.
Now, tell me about Samsung. What are they into?
So what was really interesting, again, over the last number of years, Samsung have gone through this phase of having these events and listing off a million different products that they're going to unveil to the world in the coming weeks. And while they did that, the main focus of their presentation yesterday was more on the concept of the future and their vision of the future. So, the way we've spoken so many times about the Internet of Things, well, they're very much focused now on the intelligence of things. So we know things are connected, but how can they work smarter to support us? So everything from fridges, phones, TVs, they're all going to be now on the one Samsung ecosystem working together. And Bixby, which is their version of Siri, is going to play a central part of that. So again, you'll be able to say to your Samsung Galaxy S8, Bixby, turn on my TV to channel whatever it is, or Bixby, do I have milk in the fridge? Those small little things are going to come a long way in the Samsung sphere in the coming year.
I've been told by Bixby that I've only reached level one in learning how to use Bixby. I haven't quite embraced it yet. Samsung and the automotive space, I didn't know that they were into cars.
Yes, yeah, so Samsung purchased a company called Harman International last March. It was a ridiculous money involved. It was, I think, it was $300 million or something like that. And in the last year, since that deal was done, they've been developing new ways for Samsung to get involved with the car space. So they're, for example, they have an automotive camera system. So Samsung can kind of show up giving collision warnings, lane departure warnings, and then adaptive cruise control. They're also building a digital cockpit, which will allow a driver to personalize the vehicle based on a cloud-based profile. So even if you don't own a car, when you get in, you can download your profile from the Samsung cloud and it'll know what order you like the information displayed on your screen, or if you have particular routes that you like to take on a certain road or whatever it may be, it'll all be more personalized. So this is a small step into that industry, which Samsung has kind of been invisible in at the moment.
A final question has come in for you, Jess. Could you ask Jess for an alternative to the Beep and Go app, which seems now to be defunct? The app was a mobile wallet. Are you familiar with it?
Beep and Go. I'm just having a quick look here now as I talk. Oh yeah, okay. So there's a quite a few of them. It depends on what your bank is and that sort of stuff. It's for beaming money across. We did one. We spoke about one before. I think it's Circle Pay is the app that we spoke about before. If you're on Android, you might be able to use Android Pay as well as an alternative. It depends on whether or not you're with Bank of Ireland, because I'm with Bank of Ireland, and unfortunately, they're the only bank now that don't have Apple Pay, Android Pay, or any of that kind of stuff.
All right. Well, Jess, you're going to be reporting for News Talk all week from CES. And thanks to you for joining us. And our coverage from CES with Jess Kelly is thanks to Vodafone.